Okay, I'm excited, guys. We are actually going to finish talking about this topic of hearing God's voice. As you well know at this point, we're working through this question, hopefully answering this question, what does it mean to be a Christian? That's a really important question. Whether you call yourself a Christian or if you don't call yourself a Christian and you're just curious or you're just figuring this out or learning, we've been walking through what it means. What is the gospel? What does it mean to respond to the gospel of God's grace? What does it mean to exist in this realm of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that I'm a citizen of God's kingdom? I'm an ambassador of that kingdom, an agent of that kingdom as a child of God. We've looked at this triangle. I don't have it on here today. I didn't put it on there, but we've been looking at this triangle, looking at what it means to just live with a faithful acceptance of everyday trials, but with a new perspective. We've talked about walking with greater awareness and attentiveness to the Spirit's presence and activity and empowerment in our lives. That's where this topic of hearing God's voice comes up. And we're also woven within all of these things, and we'll continue to talk about our engagement in spiritual practices or disciplines and how all of these things intertwine and overlap and complement one another. But a few weeks ago, we kind of transitioned from this general idea of, man, how do I grow in my awareness of the Spirit's presence in my life? And how do I cross that bridge from just kind of this general sense of, okay, God is with me, and just that becoming more and more real to me? And at what point do I cross that line to where I would say, man, I'm developing an ear and attentiveness to God's voice? And what does Scripture say about that? We spent a whole day looking through what Scripture says about that. Last week, we talked about just some of the other ideas and things. We're just kind of weeding through some different topics and ideas last week. And today, we are going to hopefully get to a point where we say, okay, like, this is really kind of what this is like. This is what it means to hear God's voice. How do I actually know if God is speaking to me, if the Spirit himself is leading me in some way, or if this is just my own thoughts on any given decision or topic or something going on in my life, right? And this is a place where a lot of people don't like to go, or they don't want to go, because it's a very spiritual thing. But guess what? Being a Christian means you are a spiritual person, and you are in a relationship with the God of creation, with the God of all things. He is a spiritual being. We are in relationship with him. And so that means there is communication going on. We've looked at this passage a couple times. This is going to be the main one that I reference here this morning. But let's pull this up. I think I have John 10 up there. Yeah. Jesus himself said, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep," talking about himself. "The gatekeeper, the Father, opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice." We'll go on. We're skipping down a little bit in this passage. He keeps this theme going here for quite some time. John 10, verse 9, Jesus again, changing metaphors a little bit. Now Jesus says, "I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The life, the Christian life, the life that Jesus invites us into is one that is qualitatively better than anything else. And one of the most central elements of that life is a life lived in fellowship, in proximity to, in relationship with the Good Shepherd. And that involves hearing his voice, following his leading. I don't have this passage up here, but in Romans 8, we read from Paul that those who are God's children are led by God's Spirit. And again, we spent a whole day looking at passages of Scripture. And last week, I mentioned a few books, a few of these, but I just want you to know, maybe 99.599% that I say today is not original content from me, okay? I am not the world's leading expert on hearing God's voice, okay, if you didn't know. God's people for generations have been developing an ear for God's voice and have spent lifetimes and decades tuning their heart to the frequency of God's voice. And many of those people have written down things for their brothers and sisters coming up behind them. And so most everything that I'm going to share with us today are things that I have gleaned by experience myself, and I'll talk about some of my own experience with this, but mostly from books like this. I'll share them with you. I mentioned this one last week, The Practice of the Presence of God by a French monk named Brother Lawrence, 18th century. Super tiny book, but very, very cool stuff. If you like one-liners that will just knock you on the floor, this is the book for you. No particular order here. And I didn't mention this last week, but this is a classic. If you haven't read this, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. He, again, kind of like, whoa, like we don't think or talk like this anymore. Dallas Willard, Hearing God. You should read The Pursuit of God, but if there's really one book on this particular topic of hearing God's voice, it's the book that's called Hearing God. pretty much on theme, right? And even Willard, throughout this book, he's quoting and referencing from other sources, even some of these other sources. And this is not short. He goes into great, incredibly helpful detail and thoughtfulness on this topic. We'll have some quotes from him on this today. You've heard me reference this guy a lot, David Benner. This is the third book in a series, but this one is called Desiring God's Will, which sounds very cerebral and mental thought process-like, but it's really all about aligning our heart with God's heart, which is about getting into his presence, communion with him, and ultimately being led by him in his spirit. Okay, Jonathan Edwards, Religious Affections. You could try to pick this up and read it. I cannot even hardly read and understand half of what he says here, but there is some stuff in here that if you like mining and you like doing hard work, like to get gems, or if you struggle with pride and you think you're smart and you just want to be put in your place by somebody in private, just pick up this book and read it, and you will feel like your brain is just the size of a gnat, okay? It's painful, okay? I referenced this last week as well, Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby and Claude King. I don't know how much Claude contributed to this. He doesn't get much press. It's pretty much everyone just says, this is by Blackaby. Okay, so I don't know. Some very good, helpful, practical things in here. Like I mentioned last week, he kind of goes in a direction with this that I'm like, meh. You can make up your own mind on that. But still, very good. And in any book, you take what's good and things that aren't helpful, you're like, okay, well, maybe not. This is a really cool book. All of these books are pre-millennium. They're like pre-2020. They're not new. Nothing here is new, guys, right? Spiritual Theology, The Theology of Yesterday for Spiritual Help Today. The field of spiritual theology is ancient. We don't really use this category of theology anymore. But this is by a guy named Diogenes Allen. So if you see a guy whose name is Diogenes, you just need to listen to what he says, because it's got to be good, okay? But really, really good stuff. So I say all of that just to, again, you don't have to go and read all of these books. A couple of them would be really helpful, but again, almost nothing you're about to hear is truly from me. Okay, so I just wanted to preface that. I don't know how many pastors come out and say that. Like, yes, I'm just one of the greatest ministries that a pastor has, I think, in the modern day is curation. There's so much garbage information that just saturates everything, every moment of our existence on the internet and in the world around us, that human curation that just says, I have actually read and processed this information. I have received it, and I can see the value and goodness in it. And I just want to share it with you. And I think this would be really valuable to you. That's something that we really need in our world. So I see it's part of my role as a pastor is to kind of be that kind of like spiritual resource curator for the people that God has entrusted to my care and leadership spiritually, okay? So just give you that little insight into part of what my role is, what I think my role is anyway, being a pastor in 2026. But anyway, here we go. And I'll also preface this by saying everything I'm about to say is woefully inadequate and will only scratch the surface of this topic, okay? This is going to be a lifetime journey of growing in our relationship with the Lord, hearing his voice. So how do we hear God's voice? How do we recognize God's voice? Really, the only answer is by experience. And we could just close it right there, really, and just pray and say, well, go on and just go practice. Just get quiet and just say, Lord, I'm here, right? And see what happens and share the stories that come out of that. But we do have some more to say. It's by experience. And again, we have the benefit of, obviously, we have God's word, we have scripture, which we've looked at extensively. We have the benefit of gleaning from and learning from and kind of standing on the shoulders of our older brothers and sisters in the faith. Another book, I don't have the hard copy, but there's another book by an ancient female spiritual leader, Teresa of Avila. She wrote a book called The Interior Castle, and it's, you know, public domain. Even something like Brother Lawrence, that's public domain at this point. You could easily pull up the full text of that online. Interior Castle, there's so many ancient resources on this we could reference as well. But we get to learn by experience ourselves and by the experiences of others, and by the experience of one another as we grow in closeness and community together. But to make this somewhat practical, Willard and others, basically wherever you read someone trying to get practical on this topic, they boil it down to these three categories. So we'll put this up here. And multiple sources kind of, I don't know who said this first, but a lot of different sources, they refer to these as like lights, three lights. When it comes to hearing God's voice, there are three primary elements to how we usually experience this. Outside of the more kind of supernatural examples we see in scripture where God just shows up and appears to somebody and talks to them, or an angel or some kind of vision experience, right? We're talking about the normal rhythms of life, the ebb and flow as we're working through decision making and things like that, and you know, whatever it may be, just the usual ordinary means through which we experience God's voice and hear it, certainly through scripture, through impressions of the Spirit, This is where we refer to things like, we read those passages in the New Testament where it was like, the Holy Spirit said to them, and it was like, wait, so was that like an audible voice, or was this just something in their own spirit, in their own thinking, but it was clearly from the Spirit, right? Thoughts and perceptions that bear within themselves the marks of their divine origin, one author wrote. Impressions of the Spirit, right? It's just like, it just kind of makes a mark in you, on you. And then the third category is circumstances. And some folks break this circumstances into circumstances as like the events around me. Some people put, you know, people like God speaks through his people or may communicate something through something that somebody might say to you. But I find that it's helpful to just include all of that into circumstances, because someone saying something to me, that's kind of like, that's a circumstance. Well, you know, it's just, three is easier than four, okay? That's why we do that. But the Spirit speaks through all of these means. And Willard says this on this topic. He says, the voice of God is not itself any one of these three things, nor is it all of them together, but the voice or word of God coming to individuals as repeatedly displayed in biblical events usually comes to us in conjunction with these things. And many of you, maybe everyone in here who's been a believer for some time, you can think of moments in your life where you experienced kind of some kind of convergence of these things. Things you were reading in Scripture, something that just really, you know, we use different words for it, you know, jumped out at you or impacted you or moved you in Scripture, from Scripture. And often it's during kind of pivotal moments in life. That's just naturally, usually how it happens, because we're not often looking or really listening for God's voice outside of those kind of moments of life that are more heavy for us. And we learn over time, and as we mature, we learn to not just listen for God's voice in big, heavy moments, right? That's one of the things we've talked about. But we see the convergence of these things. Man, something we see in Scripture, and there's a heaviness and a weight to what we are just sensing or feeling, or, again, what it seems like from outside of myself, I'm being moved in some kind of direction, right? And usually, as this is happening, I'm observing circumstances of my life, and my senses are kind of heightened here, and I'm just seeing like, oh, that's interesting, right? Something somebody just said to me seems to fit what just I'm hearing, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, what I believe the Spirit is doing in this moment, right? So again, we could go into great, we could spend quite a bit of time on each one of these things, but I'm just going to kind of let these sit here. And as we move forward, and we got another thing to talk about that will hopefully bring all of this together. But as we grow and as we're just going through our day-to-day life, we've talked about increasing our awareness and attentiveness to the presence of God in our life. We've talked about practices that help us do that more, ways that we can even look back on our day and kind of just reflect with the Lord, okay, God, where were you? And I just didn't notice it at the time, right? The awareness examine. And the next kind of part to incorporate into that is to say, not just were you there, but were you speaking and I just wasn't in tune with it, right? God, is there something you're trying to tell me through that moment? Or even, I alluded to this a little bit, but when we talk about those consolations and desolations that we look back on, and if you didn't hear that sermon, you're like, what? You can go back and listen to it. I'm not going to go back over all of it. But God can speak and move and lead. Like, he created our emotions, right? We somehow think that our thinking is more sanctified than our feeling sometimes. When the reality is, God could probably move us a lot more accurately by our feeling than by our thinking. Because our feeling we can use to deceive ourselves and trick ourselves and convince ourselves and argue ourselves into doing things that maybe God hasn't even told us to do. But it's hard to ignore, right? Like, our gut, right? I'm not saying we should always go with our gut. You guys. But we have to discern. And God moves us in all of these ways. So moving from this, again, this is really helpful. This is from Willard. And again, he's drawing from various sources on this as well. But from these three lights, when we think of God's voice itself, again, the voice of God speaks through Scripture in all of these ways. But when we talk about hearing God's voice itself, that impression or that movement within our soul, how do I discern or determine what's the difference between God's voice and, like, is this just my own thinking? This next element here helps us to kind of process through that a little bit. And again, none of this is a formula. None of this is a checkbox kind of process. These are things that can help, but ultimately, this comes down to time, experience, and maturity in our relationship with God, which grows and becomes stronger after years and years and years, just like any other relationship. But with any voice, we could talk about multiple dynamics. When we think about vocal quality, what is it about a voice that makes it recognizable, that enables us to identify the speaker and where it's coming from? This is an incredibly amazing topic to just dive into, but three major elements of any voice are its quality. We think about things like tone is a big part of that, but again, each one of these categories, we could break into many subcategories. Like any of our senses, the ways we hear, taste, see, touch. There are so many different elements here to how we experience these different senses. And actually, in one of the things I understood from Jonathan Edwards, Religious Affections, he talks about when we become regenerate, when we are given new life in Christ, in the Spirit, he talks about this as kind of like a new sense that we receive as spiritual beings, our ability to discern and just be moved by the Spirit of God. He talks about how it's like the difference between a person who knows about honey and a person who's tasted it. A person who can describe honey based on information and a person who has actually felt it and tasted it and consumed it and enjoyed it. He says the difference between those two things is like the difference between our natural senses and this new spiritual sense that we receive when we are made new in Christ and filled with the Spirit. The way he just pages of description of this, that it's like, I could never put these words together in my life, but it's incredible. And he does repeat, he seems like he repeats himself a lot, so that's part of it. Like his writing is like a sermon where he forgot what he said 2 minutes ago and he just went back to it, which I do all the time, so I'm sorry. But three aspects of God's voice, quality. When we think about the quality of God's voice, the quality of God's voice is a matter of weight or impact that an impression from God makes on our consciousness, on our being. There is a weight to God's voice. When God speaks to people, like over and over and over again, when we see in Scripture, they knew it was God, right? Almost 100%. A certain steady and calm force that inclines us toward assent and compliance. Our innermost being seems to say, yes, this is true and right. There is a weight, there is a force to God's voice that cannot be denied or ignored. We have an inward and immediate sense of the power of God's voice, the voice that spoke all of creation into existence. The voice that calmed raging seas and raised the dead to life. When that voice speaks or moves or communicates with us, you feel it. Quoting theologian Stanley E. Stanley Jones, this is Willard quoting Jones. He said, the voice, on the question of how do we distinguish between the voice of our subconscious and the voice of God speaking to us, this idea of the quality of God's voice, he says this, which I think is really, really good. The voice of the subconscious argues with you, tries to convince you, but the inner voice of God does not argue. It does not try to convince you. It just speaks. It is self-authenticating. It has the feel of the voice of God. It's like not a suggestion. It's not a, right? It's not arguing with you. It's kind of like when you tap into that mom voice, right? And normally the mom, I'm not saying God always talks to us in the mom or the dad voice, right? But you understand what I'm saying, right? There's like a quality where it's like, it doesn't always mean we're in trouble, which is normally when we use the dad voice or the mom voice. I mean, someone's in trouble, right? But that's kind of the idea-ish. Like, we know when it's that voice. Spirit. This is what helps to qualify that quality of voice. When we think about force and weight and the power of the voice, it's balanced so beautifully by the Spirit of God's voice. The voice of God speaking in our souls bears within itself a spirit of exalted peacefulness and confidence, of joy, of sweet reasonableness, and of goodwill. His voice is not the voice of a bully. It will not run over you and your will. It is the Spirit of Jesus. you want to learn and develop a greater ear for the voice of God, read the Gospels. This is why when I put our reading plan together, and for the first 2 years of that reading plan, I had us reading through the Gospels. 3 times every year, we were essentially reading through a different gospel every single month. Because if there's anything we do as followers of Jesus, we need to be with Jesus. We need to be in his mind, in his words, see the tone of his voice, his way of being in the world, the way that he speaks. The voice of God sounds like Jesus. That's how we can learn more and more the spirit of that voice. He didn't put up signs to yell at people and tell people about how evil and wicked their decisions were. He showed up and met them where they were at and met them in their brokenness. He did something for them and with them. That's the spirit of the voice of God. And the content, how do we determine, like, what will God say? What will he not say? This is kind of sometimes how we think about this is when it comes to the content of God's voice. First, what it won't be. The content of God's voice won't be something. This is why scripture is incredibly important. Because the content of a word that is truly from God will always be consistent with the truths about God's nature and his kingdom, who he's called us to be, what he's called us to do, these things that are clear in scripture. Any content or claim that does not conform to what he's revealed in scripture, it's not a word from God. Where this gets really tricky is we can misunderstand what God says in scripture sometimes, right? It's like we are human, and so that's a reality, and that's where we run into tricky, interesting situations, and we have disagreements about things, and someone could say, God told me this, and I believe this is consistent with scripture, and someone else can disagree whether that's consistent with scripture or not, and well, praise God, he's going to make all things to right in the end. And ultimately, whatever we do, whatever we decide, whatever direction we go, we do it in humility. We do it with an awareness of the fact that I believe, I trust that this is from you, right? But we always do it in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of I could be wrong. I could be wrong about what I think scripture says. Like I said last week, hearing from God or thinking that I did does not mean I'm right. When someone gets up and said, I have a vision from God. God told me to tell you. God told me this. God told me this is what we have to do. Our nature can take that formula and turn it into a tool for manipulation and control over people and to get what I want by putting God's name on it. And that's wicked and that's evil. But it happens every day, every week, every year. People use God's name to do what they want to do. And so we have to be discerning. But scripture is still our anchor for all of this. On the other hand, when God speaks, what we can say about the content of what he says or reveals to us, it will be clear. When God leads, when God speaks, it will be clear. I love this quote from Willard. God is not a mumbling trickster. God is not a mumbling trickster. If God wants us to know something, he will be both able and willing to communicate it to us plainly. As long as we're open and prepared to hear and obey. With the caveat, does God speak to people who are not willing to hear? He sure does. We see that over and over again in Scripture. Does God show up and speak to people who are in no way prepared to hear it and not expecting it? He sure does. But normally, God speaks and leads and communes with those who are there, who are Mary, sitting at his feet, choosing the best thing, right? Who are turning down the dial of all the other distractions and worries and cares of this life and saying, Spirit, you lead me. So I could share a number of examples of this from my own life. But some of the biggest moments, and I can't even share all of them, but related to the kind of turning point in life where Carrie and I and the boys, the first boys, were in Lynchburg looking ahead at, man, future life ministry and having, again, this sense that God was kind of leading in the direction of church planting, leading in the direction of New England. Timing wasn't clear, although there was a period of time where I had a sense that, and I didn't, and again, this was partly my own inexperience, I wasn't fully discerning that this was really God's voice at the time. But I had a sense that it was like, man, I feel like maybe the time is sooner rather than later. But in my head, I said, nah. I said, I need more preparation. Like, I'm not ready for this. I don't know how to lead people to plant a new church in arguably the hardest place in the world to plant a new church. The place where people go and they leave, like they don't stay. It doesn't work out. It all goes wrong. It all falls apart. And the church planter quits ministry altogether. That is like the theme. That's the story. That's the chorus of church planting in New England. And I was like, I'm not fully up for that yet. And so I said, I need more preparation. So I said, I'm just going to stay in school. And I started pursuing a doctoral degree. And I was working in a college, right? So that fit. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep working this job. I'm just going to, and sounds very sanctified, I'm going to keep growing and learning. I need to be more mature, right, to do this. And I kind of convinced myself of all of these things that sounded right and good, even though I had this real deep, right, that force, and I was just living in the pushing against that voice. And I went through an entire semester of doctoral study, and then it was in my second semester. The school I was attending, it was a hybrid program where you do a lot of work from where you live, and then you go on campus for a couple week intensives. And I was there in a hotel room reading. I was reading through the Old Testament at the time. And I got to the passage in Kings where Elijah is on the run. And he's like afraid of Jezebel. She's threatened his life. And he knows he's supposed to be the one, like God has called him to be his voice, right, in the situation. And he ran away. And God shows up to him. He's hiding in a cave. And the voice of God comes to Elijah and says, what are you doing here? And I read those words, and it was like the world stopped. And I was like, whoa. Okay. And it wasn't mean. It wasn't bullying. It was that power, that force, that quality, but also that spirit of just like, hey, what are you doing here? It was like with the smile. Rooted in scripture, deeply rooted in circumstance. And so the next day, I was in the middle of a 2-week intensive, and I was not even at the end of the first week. And the next day, I drove home. I drove home, and I contacted the people I need to contact, and I said, hey, I'm withdrawing. I need to change my course here. And I was working full time in a university where everyone around me is Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so. And every single one of them knew and had supported me and encouraged me. Some of them wrote me reference letters to get into this program. And almost every day for weeks, I would have a new person come up to me and say, how is your program going? And I had to look at them and say, actually, I withdrew. And I had to go through this like purging of just like stepping into this obedience and what I believed was the voice of God leading me in this direction, knowing that I was gonna have to tell every single person that I work with that I quit. And I'm gonna have to just sit with my perception of what they think about me in light of that, right? Well, are they gonna think I just couldn't hack it? Are they gonna think I just couldn't make it? Yeah, it's a hard program. Yeah, I just had to walk through all of that. And then I had to talk to my pastor of my church and connect with him and be like, you know, hey, this is what I'm thinking. And I still told him, Jeremy, from our sending church. And I said, Jeremy, I'm not ready for this. I was like, here's what I think my next step is. And he was like, well, let's see. And I was like, come on, Jared, like, are you kidding me? He basically made me do this, okay? So we can just blame Jeremy. That's what I do all the time. I just blame Jeremy. But that was that circumstance and that people, right? Where it was like, okay, here's a man of God that I trust and who is confirming and affirming in my life. Okay, no, I see this. I see what God is doing. I see how God has prepared you you're not fully ready. And guess what? That's actually okay. God works through people who aren't fully ready. And that affirmation then spread to others in the leadership of the church and the church as a whole and saying, you know, hey, let's do this. And so there were just all of these pieces coming together. And again, I could share, there's so many other little details and moments and experiences throughout that process. And since then, but all of this we learn by experience. Moving forward, I shared this quote last week, which is just really good. Again, thanks, Dallas. Learning how to hear God is to be sought only as a part of a certain kind of life, a life of loving fellowship with the king and his other subjects within the kingdom of the heavens. Our primary goal is not just to go around, like, again, message a minute, just like listening, like God is going to tell us what we're supposed to do every second of every day. Not talking about that. Listen to last week's message if you missed it. Our primary goal is not just to hear the voice of God, but to be mature people in a loving relationship with him. going to cruise through these last 3 points here. They don't really require much explanation. Other things that just kind of get in the way of this kind of life. We want guidance without relationship. We treat God like our AI chat companion, right? When we need something. I only talk to God when I need a favor, right? That thought, that song came to mind this week. I hope I did it justice, you know? That's what it sounds like to me when he sings that. When we approach God's voice like this, we just want guidance when we think we need it, when we want it. It's like, come on. God is gracious, and sometimes he's like, you know, oh, come on. But that's not what it's about. Do we really want to hear God's voice, like, in general, in just normal life, communion with him? Another big problem, and again, we could talk about this for some time, but we already ignore other clear instructions from God. Again, this is where scripture becomes really important, because there's a lot of stuff in scripture that's like, you kind of have one job, maybe like one or two. Are you even doing that? Are we like doing the basic things? Are we walking in alignment with just the most basic, elementary instructions that God's already given us? About the kind of life, the way of being he's invited us into as his people. If we're just living like on our own path, trajectory, and we're just like, yeah. Forget about distractions. Like, what are you expecting to hear from God? Why, God's like, why would I tell you anything else, right? We could talk about that for a long time. But number three, we're paralyzed by silence. It's like, silence is like a spoke in our spiritual bicycle wheel sometimes, where it's like, we just can't get over that. We think that, man, if God somehow doesn't tell me what to do, oh, I just, oh, man. Oh. And so we just do nothing, or we flounder, or when it's like, again, talked about this last week. Sometimes a no answer just means like, just like, go for it. Like, do whatever you decide to do. That's kind of like the goal of all our parenting with our kids, is so that they don't have to ask us what to do in every decision that they have to make. A child cannot develop into a responsible, competent human being if he or she is always told what to do. And our character is developed and made and formed in moments where we have to do it, where we have to decide, where we have to make the choice. And yet, even when God tells us something, we do still have to make that choice, right, to respond. So it's true in both ways. But these are things to be aware of, to notice. And I'm just going to read this one last. Actually, I think I put this last quote on the screen. It's kind of long. It's two whole screens long. This, again, Dallas Willard. You should read that book. But this is what he says. I'll conclude with this. We must ultimately move beyond the question of hearing God and into, again, a life greater than our own, that of the kingdom of God. That's the whole thrust of this series of messages. Our concern for discerning God's voice must be overwhelmed by and lost in our worship and adoration of him, in our delight with his creation and his provision for our whole life. Our aim in such a life is to identify all that we are and all that we do with God's purposes. Thus, we learn how to do all things to the glory of God. His glory, our good. That is, we come in all things to think and act so that his goodness, greatness, and beauty will be as obvious as possible, not just to ourselves, but to all those around us. So as we go through our week, eyes open to his presence, ears open for his voice. See what happens. We grow, we learn by experience.